Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord. This is Apostle Veronica Crudup coming to you with the word of the Lord. I pray all is well for everyone. I pray that you had a blessed day so far and that everything is going well for you. The name of the message today is from the scripture Amos 3 and 3. How can two walk together except they be agreed? We know that even in the body of Christ, there is division and different sects and just different opinions and what have you. But one thing you cannot dispute is the truth. And when you have truth presented and it is rebuked as not being positive, then we're headed in a bad place. We have to understand that truth is what we live by. The word of God is true. And if you can't make a comment or say something, and because it's not what your itching ears want to hear, you have a problem with it. You don't have a problem with that. You have a problem with yourself. And so we need to understand that the Bible was written for believers. And when it says in 2 Corinthians 6 and 14, about be not unequally yoked with unbelievers, we have that in the body of Christ who really don't believe the word. I've seen people who will swear up and down that once saved, always saved is the word. I know the Bible says anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, but I also know it says he that endureth to the end shall be saved. So you just can't walk down the aisle, say the sinner's prayer, and then go back out here and do everything you're big enough to do. That's not serving God. There's no change in you when you do that. And the Bible is very clear when you're in the midst of stuff like that, it says, come out from among them. Be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing. And then I will receive you as you want, as your own. And we can go back to 1 Corinthians 5, where the man was sleeping with his father's wife, and Paul wrote the Corinthian church and said, why haven't you done something about this? Something is wrong with this. This man be removed. And you would have a lot of people saying that's judging. But Paul goes on to say, we are to judge those who are in the church, and God will judge those who are in the world. And so we got to get some toughness and some backbone in the body of Christ to stand for what is good, to live what is good, and to do what is good, not to just live this middle-of-the-road life. You know, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, I'd rather you be hot or cold, because if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. And when you hear people say, oh, don't say that. You can't, when you start speaking the word and it starts messing with their ears and their spirits, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to deal with it. They want to continue to just live in this la-la land. But we have to be strong in the faith. I always think about the apostles in the book of Acts. When they were ministering Jesus and telling people about Jesus and the powers that be, the Sanhedrin, the authorities, they called them in and said, look, you can't preach the name of Jesus. Don't even say the name of Jesus. And they got them straightened out. They said, you know what? We understand that you want to obey man, but we have to obey God. And they went out and they continued to minister Jesus. When you get churches where the pastor will not talk on certain subjects because the congregation will feel uncomfortable, or because the deacon board has said, no, don't say this, or they're being controlled and manipulated, they're going to have to face Jesus with that. If Jesus gives you a word or he gives you a sermon, you got to teach that thing, because there is somebody in the midst of that. Who needs that word? I have had more than a few times where I have already prepared my message of what I wanted to say or what I wanted to do, and got there, and the Holy Spirit flipped the whole script and found out later on that there were people that needed that word. I tell you one thing, one specific experience I had. I went to minister on faith, and I ended up giving a word about a family who had lived on my street, and the mother's boyfriend had sexually molested and raped all of her daughters. And one day, I was moving out of the neighborhood, and the daughter, one of the daughters came to me with her boyfriend. He said, "She needs you. She needs you. We were told to bring her to let you talk to her." And she began to tell me how the mother's boyfriend began molesting her and raping her at the age of 11, and how that's why she moved out of her house, and that, you know, how she hated him. And she was so angry. And I had gone through that experience myself as a 14-year-old, not with my stepfather, but with a relative. And so I began to tell her, "Honey, I know you're upset. I know you're mad. But you got to forgive him, not for him, but for yourself, so that you can thrive and grow." And at that point, the neighbor came outside to me and told, because the neighbor was good friends with this child's mother, and said to her, "You need to be quiet. Don't tell your business. Don't tell your business." And I told her, "You need to go back in your house, because this ain't your business." And that young lady, I said, "I need you to pray with me." And I just gave her the truth of the word. And she prayed with me. And when I said, you know, "I forget," when I said, "Repeat that you forgive him," it took her a minute, but she said it. And when she got through, she was so free. She said, "I feel so much better. I am so much happier." Her whole continence, everything changed. Now, a lot of people, a lot of leadership in the church would not have even taken that on. But this is what God expects us to do. This is his will for us to break the chain. The deliverance has to come. And so when people don't agree with me and saying stuff like that, I just kind of wish them well and say, "I pray the Lord bless you mightily," and move on out of the way. Because we're in two different lanes. You want to preach a message that's soothing to the ears and all of that. And I when I told the church that story that I just said, the idea that the pastor of that house was sexually molesting and raping his daughter. 3 days later, it all came out that he had been doing that. I knew she was so angry with me when I was done, and he wouldn't even look at me. I had no idea. She thought I knew. I didn't know, but the Holy Spirit knew. And the Holy Spirit knew this had to come out in the open. 3 days later, this young girl went up in the attic and didn't want to live. Her mother found her. Her mother knew he was sexually molesting and raping her and did nothing. They took her to the hospital, and he disappeared for a while. The mother told the husband, "You just go somewhere, because we don't want," and the police showed up at the hospital looking for him. Probably would still be doing it, but God said enough. I had no idea when I told them that experience that it was happening right in that house, that place of worship with the leadership. But the Holy Spirit knew. And I often hear the Lord say, "Cry loud and spare not. Tell my people of their transgressions." But when you won't even hear the truth, and you're a leader, and you won't tell the truth, I'm removing myself from you. I don't want to be yoked with that. That's bondage. That's dishonesty. That's a character trait of the devil. That is not of God. I'm not going down that road. I don't believe that we have to get up, or we're supposed to get up and preach La La Land every Sunday or every Wednesday. We are obligated to tell the truth. In this life, you're going to have trials and tribulations. And when you tell people, once you get saved, you ain't got to worry about nothing, you all good, you have just lied to them. in a sense, because you're still good even when you go through the trials and tribulations. But not to tell people that this is not a life of walking through the roses or the rose garden, you're deceiving them. We have to tell the truth, even whether you don't want to tell the truth. I told a young lady she was dating some man, and I told her, I said, this ain't the one for you. This man does not even believe in women in ministry. He's got these issues going on. She didn't like it. She quit talking to me. 2 months later, he dumped her because he didn't want a woman that would try to lead in ministry and stuff. But when she asked me, I had to tell her the truth. He didn't like it, but I told her the truth, and I try to tell the truth in love. But there are times when God says, just remove yourself, say nothing, remove yourself. They're going to have to walk through this. It's like seeing someone on the train track, and you hear the train coming, and you say, get off the track. The train is coming. And they're saying to you, nah, the train going to stop before it gets to me. Then all of a sudden you hear splat. That body is all over the track. Can't stop it, but you tried to tell them. We have to tell the truth. We can't, if someone you're walking with and you're yoked up with and they don't want the truth, how are you still walking with them if you want to live and walk in the truth? You have to want to walk in the truth, and I want to walk with people who want to walk in the truth. I don't want to be with people who don't want to walk truthfully. And I've seen too much of it. But I'm about done now. And I pray that all is well with everyone. And I'm going to say good night. This was very short, but here we are. Good night.